Weather Brains episode number 361 for Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2012. Oh, the jolly old man is almost here.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
This is the weekly show all about weather, and this is the Christmas special. You know, I should have worn my Santa hat. I know, although I know that most of you listen, we do a video version here. I don't even have my Christmas suspenders on. I wore those a couple of nights ago. But we're glad you're here, and this will be a different kind of show. Should I tell them our secret, guys? I said this is for Monday, December 24th, Christmas Eve. But being the honest engine that I am, we're really doing the show on Thursday, December 20th. See, we are transparent here on this show. But anyway, my name is James Spann. And if you're new, you know, I keep remembering that so many people are new to this show every week. I need to stop and explain some things. In fact, in a minute, I probably ought to play Kevin Selly's son Matthew's little audio for the noobs. But my name is James Spann, and this will be different in many ways. In fact, let me go ahead and do that here. Let me see if I can find that. This is a little explanation of our show if you've never listened before. So here we go.
A quick Weather Brains primer for new listeners.
Weather Brains is James Spann, chief meteorologist at ABC 3340 in Birmingham. He worked pretty hard in most of his life, but on this show, all he seems to do is talk up intros and play sound effects. J.B. Elliott is the world's greatest weatherman and the reason most of us are here. He works the hardest, is smarter than the rest of the panel combined, and is the only one who knows all the temperatures in Alaska and Western Canada at a moment's notice. Brian Peters is also Professor Peters, host and writer of the excellent and very educational Weather Brains 101. I'm not quite sure about his title of internationally beloved. I have a friend who lives in China, and he has never mentioned him. Bill Murray is the guest booking officer and responsible for all the fantastic guests you hear on the show. Teaching people how to use Google Hangouts is a tough and thankless job, and probably why he continues to play to the camera in spite of my dad's ranting against it. Producer J.P. Spann stays up until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning editing a show. Another thankless job, but he outstripped his dad's performance in his first week by getting the file size down from 7 teraflops to just a few megs. Nate Johnson is a societal impacts and weather technology expert. He is also the email officer for the program, yet another thankless job, which leads to my dad. Kevin Selly now mainly just makes wise guy comments on the show and is chief ranting officer. He was once executive producer, was also the email officer for many years, and I must say, since shedding both of these titles, is now much nicer to have around the house.
Welcome to Weather Brains. Much like the Rush Limbaugh show, it will probably take a few weeks for you to get it. If you still don't like it, they're doing great work over at the Weather Channel, like naming winter storms. Wonder how that's working out for them.
That's great. That's Kevin's wife and son that put that together for us. So anyway, I'm James, and by golly, let me just kind of go down the absentees here before I bring in the guests or our regulars here. Bill Murray, who is our booking officer, he's the guy that brings in all these guests, is out tonight. Bill has been on the road. He actually does have we all have real jobs where we do other things. And Bill has been on the road a lot, and he decided that he better spend this night with his lovely wife, Sally, and we gave him a pass. We have no guests tonight, and Bill typically does the interviews and does all the preparation and all that kind of stuff, and he is off tonight. Nate Johnson from Raleigh, WRAL Television. Nate sent a note that his morning guy apparently called in sick. Now when you work the morning shift, Brian, you've been on a few of those. You have to come in at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and when you get the call. Yeah, you get that call about 3 or 4 o'clock, and so Nate has been doing like a double shift or something, and he's got to go back in at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning, so he is out. Although, sleep is for sissies. He doesn't understand that, because Brian, the two of us, we were up kind of early this morning, too, dealing with some weather issues. Kevin is out. But in his defense, Kevin Selly is with the Texas Cable News Channel in Dallas-Fort Worth, the Belo Broadcasting Empire. But at least he sent us a little audio, and I have not previewed this. I have no idea what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, a special bit of audio from our friend Kevin Selly.
Hello, friends. At this joyous time of year, I wanted to bring you a special holiday greeting from my family to yours. The 12 days of Weather Brains.
12 foghorn sounding.
11 weather stations.
10 Google Hangouts.
9 superstorms.
8 rim shots banging.
7 global warmings.
6 cocoa rods.
5 social networks.
4 named winter storms.
3 email surveys.
2 hygrometers.
And Dad's out.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Now that was the greatest one ever. You know,
I think we should say goodnight, Merry Christmas, and sign off.
I mean, we can't top that. I mean, I might have to play that again before the show is over. Wow. So Kevin is out tonight, and that leaves the Three Stooges here, you know. Let's bring in the internationally beloved meteorologist, Brian Peters.
Well, there's my expression of Merry Christmas, and I'm doing this right now because Kevin isn't here to give me a wrist slap for showing a visual on an audio program.
Yeah.
But it is an absolutely gorgeous picture of a nicely lighted tree and a huge ornament. I mean, huge, like 10 or 12 feet tall, taken in Sundance Square in downtown Fort Worth. And I wrote Merry Christmas across it and gave Kevin credit for the picture. But that's what I've been using for my blog video Merry Christmas greeting.
Ah, you did a very nice job of putting that together, Brian. By the way, I'm blown away at the number of people that are watching this show here. I thought nobody would be watching because we're on this weird night. But we have basically the same number that would watch on Monday night, which is awfully scary. But anyway, Brian, you were up early this morning. And again, we have some weather issues in our market. In fact, weather is really a big story around the nation at the time we're doing this. And again, in all honesty, we are recording this on Thursday, December 20th, a very dynamic weather system has brought everything from blizzards to dust storms to tornadoes to much of the country.
Yes.
And we were up
early. Well, and also we wanted to get this episode 361, we wanted to get it recorded before the world ends tomorrow.
Oh, that's true. The end of the world is tomorrow. So that this big storm is just part of the end of the world.
Yeah, JP, I wouldn't rush, you know. I'd wait till Saturday to put the show together. Yeah, about 4 o'clock this morning, I woke up thinking about Charles at the station, our morning meteorologist, and thinking about him and wondering what was going on. So I grabbed my iPhone and quickly looked to see what was going on and saw that SPC had just put out a tornado watch that encompassed the southern half of our DMA. What is that? Designated market area?
Yes.
And so I decided, without being prodded by anybody, that, you know, Charles didn't deserve to have to handle severe weather by himself, even though it did look marginal, but there was still a threat. And since we were under a tornado watch, so as it turns out, almost all of the severe weather, we had a bunch of wind gusts that were just below the severe criteria in the 40 to 50 mile an hour range, a few just over 50 miles an hour, but none of them actually getting up to 58 or higher. But we did have some very minor wind damage reported, but we did have a tornado at Mobile, Alabama, that damaged, unfortunately, the Mercedes dealership down there, along with some other stuff. To my knowledge, though, James, and I don't know if you've seen anything different, but no injuries and no fatalities.
I think there were two minor injuries. Just
were there?
Cuts
okay.
And scrapes, and you know,
and it was classified already as an EF1. So, but you know, late in December, it's not completely out of the question, as we saw. So, anyway, you know, things kind of died down after the front came through central Alabama. Temperatures behind that front dropped off about 12 degrees, I think.
Yep.
Dew points dropped off about 15, and it was a gorgeous afternoon with blue sky and, you know, that kind of wintry blue.
Oh, yeah,
so
the air coming across the snowpack. It's good. All right, yeah. And we've got producer JP Spann, who is in Starkville, Mississippi. Producer, how was the squall line at your place early this morning?
Had a few limbs down in the parking lot, and thanks for pinch hitting for me on Monday. Was feeling a little bit under the weather, but I am back. But yeah, we had some just some minor tree limbs down in the parking lot from that squall line. But the main thing I noticed was just the strong winds, and of course the change to much cooler weather, which was very refreshing.
Yep. And again, JP puts this show together. He produces the audio version. He will be producing this audio version, assuming the world doesn't end tomorrow. We want to also mention, we had a, you know, guys, we had a really cool thing we were going to do tonight. We had a young man from Smithville, Mississippi, and his mom. They were going to come down to the television station here in my market in Birmingham, and it's a pretty long haul. That's about 2 hours and maybe 15 minutes, but he is very interested in weather, and we were going to have Bill and the family from Smithville here. Now, Smithville, Mississippi was hit by an EF5, one of these horrific, unspeakable tornadoes that happened April 27th, 2011. And we were all going to be together. We were going to move over to the one of our talk studios back in the back and start it early and do some special stuff. And in addition to that, Greg Carbon of the Storm Prediction Center was going to join us for the annual year ender. And if you're a longtime Weather Brains viewer or listener, you know that Greg traditionally joins us right at the end of the year, and he goes through the top 10 events of the year. And something came up with Greg. But just the whole thing just imploded. The family from Smithville, that they're ill and they couldn't make the trip, and Greg could not be on because he's got to work. I think he's working now at SPC tonight. So we're going to have Greg on our show that will be running the last week of the year, basically our New Year's show, if you will. And we're going to go through the top 10 at that point. So what Bill Murray, you know, Bill is our content guy. I'm just the stooge that presses the buttons. JP is the producer. Brian is the international traveler. Bill is in charge of content. So what he suggested that we do tonight, we're not going to do a long show because I know it's Christmas. A lot of people will not be listening. You know, this disrupts all the you know, typical viewing and listening habits. But every year, one of the things we also do, we do a picks episode. And I think, Brian, you listened to this show called the Mac Geek Gab. You ever heard of that?
Oh, yes.
You know, they do episodes called Cool Stuff Found, right?
Yeah, right.
So this is kind of like our version of Cool Stuff Found tonight. And let me just say up front that of the three of us, none of us have done any show prep here because it has been a busy day today. But Bill has a whole bunch of categories, and we're just going to run down and give some tips. And there's a chance maybe you know these sites. We're giving websites. Maybe you know them. Maybe you don't. One of the things I've learned is that, you know, I've had sites I've used for years and years, and I mention it to somebody thinking the world knows, and the truth is nobody knows about it. So there might be a little diamond in the rough here. And if you want to submit a pick, just send us an email, or maybe JP's monitoring the chat room. We're on at live.bigbrainsmedia.com, we'll put JP over there. So we're going to go through that. We're going to have Weather Brains 101. We might do a very abbreviated email segment here, but again, we're not going to do the 90-minute show, I'll tell you that. We're going to do a nice, tight, probably about a 45-minute show here. So, and I was hoping that JB Elliott would be on here because one of these shows, I want to interview JB. This guy started working for the Weather Service in the 1950s. He worked the super outbreak in 1974. I mean, he's worked through so much history, and, you know, we often don't give him time to share. So we're going to do a JB show in 2013 at some point. So we're going to start with the picks here. And the first thing that Bill has, guys, it is satellites. So here's the question to you. If you could pick one site on the web, you needed to grab a satellite image, you know, whether it's a visible shot, you know, IR, water vapor, and I'm not talking the blue marble stuff, not the specialty stuff, okay? This is the operational weather forecasting stuff. So what is your go-to satellite site, Brian? Pick one. And we're all going to do screen shares, and I know that you listening cannot see what we're showing, but we are going to describe it in great detail.
Well, I think if I had to,
Oh, this is good. I got him stumped.
Yeah, well, no. You see, you put a little constriction on it there. And I really thought I was going to pick the NOAA GOES server saddle website. But the more that I think, you said the one that I would pick if I could only have one, I think I'd go to the satellite images that are part of the RAP-UCAR site.
Okay, so
because those are nicely zoomed in. What I don't like about the NOAA GOES one is that they don't have some nice close-ups of, you know, different parts of the U.S. So I'll put that link up there. But I think that's the one that I would pick as my one satellite picture, because I really like to zoom in on that southeastern U.S. and see that one. So I would pick that site.
Okay. And again, what I've got up on the screen now, I think when most people, you know, go to the standard NOAA satellite site, they see this. It's goes.noaa.gov, right?
Right. Right.
And we had here in this market, as part of the National Weather Association annual meeting in 2011, the GOES Users Conference, which piggybacked that meeting. And that was very interesting. In fact, I probably spent more time at the sessions with the GOES Users Conference, because, you know, our jobs were kind of over by then. But one of the things that they clearly understand is that this site is not exactly something that's that good. I mean, you know, it's kind of old school and it's kind of clunky. And, you know, they are very much aware of that. But as you know, in the government sector, Brian.
Yes.
All good things take time. But this is the one I was going to choose. Just up the road from us, the guys at NASA in Huntsville, Alabama, have a pretty cool little site here. Have you ever used this one before, Brian?
I have, but I was thinking, you know, yes, I do. Yeah, I was thinking more a little bit more operational, and sometimes I think of that one as being more, not quite as operational as the UCAR, but
yeah. Well, for me, I don't know. Here's the deal: like you know, you click on the, you know, 1 kilometer infrared goes east image, and it's a clickable image. And down here, you've got all of these, you know, controls. You can control the quality. You can control the zoom factor. You can control the output image, the size. You can make it an animation. You can make it a single. And I'm telling you, it is a very, very effective tool for me. And again, for those that are watching, this is just an example. This is an IR image, and it gives you the lat line point where you click your mouse for the center part of that. And again, down here in the bottom, they got some pretty cool stuff. They're doing some really good stuff up there. So, you know, maybe this one is off the radar. And again, Brian, you're going to have a horrible job doing these show notes here, because we got a lot of links on this thing. This is going to be a link-a-rama, but it's the Earth Science Office with the Marshall Space Flight Center up in Huntsville.
You know, I was going to say, James, you know, actually, I think that site has gotten better, because I remember going to it once and just it wasn't as good. And I think, you know, you go someplace and you don't like it, or it doesn't seem to meet your need for that particular time, and so you kind of blow it off. And I that may be why I blew it off, because I didn't realize it had quite as much interactive capability that when I used it. So they may have made it better.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's a pretty good site. So, producer JP, you got any thoughts? Like, you need a quick satellite picture. JP, where do you go?
I typically go to NOAA. I do the same thing as what Brian originally was going to pick. But I was going to show you guys this, and I sent you a picture of this last night, Dad. This was pretty interesting. It's a total coincidence, but during the thunder snow event in Iowa, I captured this on my little radar program. It looks just like a Hook Echo with a supercell in the middle of the thunder snow event. And I know it's impossible for there to be a tornado there, but I thought that was pretty cool looking. And I saw a couple of videos of the thunder snow in Iowa. And I'm just fascinated with that type of event. But I thought that was pretty interesting there to see that.
You know, me too. I love thunder snow.
That is cool. Do I need to blow the buzzer on JP though? Because that's a radar picture, not a satellite picture. See,
exactly. Yes, I'm jumping around here, but I had to jump into that because I was just so excited to show it to you.
We're about to do radar here in just a second, so save that one for that. There is one more site I wanted to show that I do use a lot. This is the site, the SSEC, that I believe this is out of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Brian, you ever seen this one?
Yes.
And again, it is very good, high-resolution data. You can pick the different satellite, you know, and just see some stuff right there. So, again, I think that's a great option as well. But if you've got a really cool satellite site that maybe we don't know about, let us know. But, again, if I had to pick just one, and that's what we're going to do, we're going around the horn here, I would pick the Marshall Space Flight Center. I say Marshall Space Flight Center. I guess that's what they call it. The Earth Science Office of NASA. But they're interactive global geostationary weather satellite images. And you got 1 kilometer visible images. You can go to full disk if you wanted to do that. They've got, goes west, goes east. It's good stuff. So, all right, we have covered subject number one. Number two, now, producer, you can talk about radar. So where'd you get that radar image? Where'd you grab that?
I use a radar scope for my my smartphone, and of course I use the app as well for my laptop. But Bill Murray has a wonderful app as well. Don't forget to talk about that one. But I mostly do use just radar scope.
Yeah, I think Bill's app, that's more of a warning type app. And again, let me do a little screen share here. And again, most everybody that's listening or watching, they've seen radar scope. And more than likely, they have it on their phone or their tablet. And this is a product from WDT, Weather Decision Technologies. And as I recall, Mike Wolfenbarger and some of his associates developed this program in Oklahoma City. WDT came in and bought them out. And it's for those, and most of us on the show, in fact, we all use Macs. I know we live in a Windows world, and often, you know, we can be guilty of not.
We do not.
Well, we live in a Windows world. But for those on the Mac side, obviously that is the choice. If you've ever seen any of the postings I do on social media, like this morning, go back to my Facebook feed or Google Plus or Twitter, and you'll see all these images and tornado warning polygons. All of that was done with radar scope. And one interesting thing about radar scope, I think a lot of people maybe don't know, is that they have a television version. It's called Radar Scope for TV. And, in fact, let me find something. I'm sitting here, you know, showing basically a blank image here. I'll find you something interesting, but the radar scope product,
go to Chicago.
Okay, the radar scope for TV, it's, oh yeah, that's snow up there. You can tell, can just tell by the way it looks, those bands of snow up there. But
And it looked a lot worse earlier, so
yeah. But anyway, radar scope for television is basically the same thing, but there are different controls that we need on the television side, and I use it extensively. I use it on an iPad going through an Apple TV. The Apple TV has an HDMI out, and that goes to our switcher. So it's digital from the front end all the way to the back end. And it gives us control over the fonts. For the consumer product, you don't have control over the fonts. There's some things you don't have. But let me tell you what, a lot of the products they did put in the consumer deal. For example, they've got Telestration now on the iPad app. Everybody has the Telestrator. And you can take that image that you made with your Telestrator or just a plain radar image and port it to any social media, or I say any, Facebook and Twitter. You can save it to your camera roll. And the cool thing, too, it's got all the new dual pole products. They've done a wonderful job with this. So that is radar scope. And Brian, I'm going to kind of ask you this because you're maybe more an expert on this, but the other piece of radar software that is big among weather weenies, it's the Gibson Ridge set. So I'll let you be the Gibson Ridge guy here. We're going to invoice, by the way, all of these people for the commercial time we're giving them. I know the WDT guys, and Gibson doesn't like me. I confronted him at some meeting somewhere. And I said, you really ought to make a Macintosh version of this.
Yeah, he's a Windows guy.
Well, the guy used to work for Microsoft, apparently.
Yeah.
So I got the evil eye, you know, like, don't ever talk with me again, pal. Explain the Gibson Ridge suite there, Brian. I don't understand the difference. You know, there's level 2 and level 3 and level X and world, and I don't understand any of that. I've never used it before.
Well, and I haven't used it since he's got all those different versions. First of all, it's called GR Level 2 or 3, or GR Level X is the best way to find it on the web. But I used it when it was in its infancy, and it was the single best Windows program for radar. And unfortunately, it was the only thing I ever wanted to run on my Mac computer, and I even thought briefly about putting, you know, one of these virtual machines, Parallels, or what's the other one? Can't think of the other one, but VMware.
Yeah, VMware. Yeah.
I thought about putting those on, but the problem is you open your Mac up to all the Windows viruses. So, you know, that's one of the reasons I have a Mac, is to get away from all those viruses. So anyway, but it was one of the best, I think the best radar program for a Windows machine. So that is definitely. But my pick right now is RadarScope, and I'm still after Mr. Wolfenbarger to get a measuring capability.
There you go.
On RadarScope.
Oh, so are you listening?
If Mike's listening, I put in a plug with a caveat. I just want to get that measuring capability, because, you know, one of the things that I do as a consultant is to provide weather support to events, outdoor events, especially, that are susceptible to lightning and to thunderstorms or rain. And to be able to measure is just something that I really need for that application.
When you say measure, what do you mean by that?
Well, like, for example, you know, I'm sitting here. Yeah, you and I are sitting at a stadium, and I have to figure out where the rain is and how fast it's moving, and to be able to measure how far it is from the stadium to the edge of the rain.
Oh, you mean distance. Okay.
Yeah, distance.
I got you. Okay. Yeah. I thought you meant...
You know, or also to be able to measure how close the lightning is, because when I work with an outdoor event and they ask for my opinion on lightning response, my opinion is that they need to take action when lightning is within 10 miles. That's kind of my threshold. You can do it closer, but I prefer to do 10, because invariably when you get a strike, it's never exactly 10 anyway. It's going to be 8 or 6 or 9 or something like that.
And we should point out, too, while we're talking about this, if you use RadarScope, and I get this question all the time, how do you get that lightning on there? Because when they see me post, it's got lightning data. Well, you have to have a little data subscription to Allison House, and we might as well mention that. And remember when I mocked those guys for their name?
Yes, I'm surprised they don't charge you triple.
They probably are. If I check my credit card bill, you know, they're charging me quadruple what everybody else is paying. But it's Tyler Allison, and I think his dad, and they're really wonderful people. They're great, but you have to have a data subscription, and that data runs through RadarScope. And
that's fabulous.
If you have it, you get the lightning data and some special little cookies in there. But back to the Gibson Ridge thing one more time. You know, I was looking at their products, and it looks like they have one of those is called GR2 Analyst, an advanced level 2 analysis application. It features a high quality volumetric display and several high resolution reflectivity derived graphical products like this volumetric display. And I was going to ask you guys.
I've never used that.
Yeah. I hate this, you know, to me, it's a thing where, you know, there might be some coolness in that, but when you're in real time working a really bad tornado outbreak, I mean, people's lives are in danger, and you're fooling around showing that, you know, I don't think that really helps Joe Q Public know where the tornado is and where it's going. I mean, again, I guess you can look back on it and it's cool, but I am not a big believer in that. Over the years, I've had the option to use some stuff like that, but I've just kind of passed on that. But this is GR2 Analyst, and then this, I think the newest one is this GR Earth. And this is where
I definitely have not used that one.
Yeah, this is where he's, and it's cool. I mean, it really looks cool. So if you are a Windows person, that's one. And I know a lot of people that do this. They go to what is it? NOAA.radar.gov. Is that the? Apparently, that's not the right one.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I'm trying to remember what it is.
Radar.weather.gov, is that it? Yeah, maybe that's, radar.weather.gov. And I think most people, they wind up going to that. And then this is okay, you know, it's single site data, and you could put different, you put rivers and highways and things like that. But this is the one thing I would advise not using. No, nothing personal. I have a lot of good friends that work for the Weather Channel, but a lot of people use this, weather.com radar and I would rather go straight to the source and get it from the.
Yeah, me too. I thought you were saying you didn't want to go to the Weather Service.
No. Hey, go ahead, JP.
I was gonna say, Brian, I have a question from the chat room. Have you guys ever heard of Dark Sky available in the App Store? I have not used it.
I have heard of it, and I think I read about it once, but I've never used it. So,
well, let's look. Let's just Dark Sky
is that the one that's supposed to give you a projection?
It's basically, it says it's a new kind of weather app. It uses state of the art weather forecasting to predict when it will rain or snow, and present you alongside with the most beautiful radar visualizations you've ever seen.
Ooh, how much they charge?
Sounds
for this
pretty
thing.
Interesting. I'm looking that up now.
I think Brian should buy a copy right now so we can play with it and come back and do a report. But Brian's he's got the Weather Brains credit card over there. You know, I have heard of
I
this,
do.
But I have not tried it. So
I haven't either.
I'm a gorgeous weather app from Cultimac, but this apparently is on the Mac App Store for iPhone and iPad. So. Cool.
It is $4 for the iPhone and iPad. I don't know if it's available in the App Store for the desktop Macs, but I'm going to check that. But it's $4, so it's pretty cheap.
Okay, well, cool. We got to move on here because I promised a short show, and we're eating up all of our time already here. All right, severe weather. You go to one site or one source to get warnings. Brian?
SPC.
To get warnings?
Yes. Oh, no, to get. Oh, okay.
Warnings.
Okay. What do you mean by severe weather? You want warnings.
Let's say I want to go to my computer and I want to look at the latest. I want to check and see if there's a tornado warning for my market, or I want to see a list of tornado warnings. What's your go-to site?
Radar Scope.
Okay. Well, that's cool because we live in an app world, and a lot of people, we're in the post-PC era.
So I guess when you said severe weather, my immediate first thought is I go to SPC because I'm not as interested in the warnings as I am in the development of what's going on. And so I use a number of things off SPC's site, but you can also get warnings on their site.
Really? I didn't know that. I had no idea.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's pretty close to real time. I mean, it may lag a little bit, but you can actually you can get the hazards map and the watch warning map are all on their site. So I still think that SPC is still my choice for that topic. Because there's so many things related to severe weather that you can get there. That's why.
Okay, well, what I've got up on the screen share, this is the site. If I just am going to the web to quickly look at warnings, I go to the College of DuPage Meteorology Severe Weather and Flash Flood Warning page. It's very simple. No fancy graphics. It just loads fast, and they have the warnings in chronological order. In fact, for those watching, you can see that the top warning is from a tornado warning from Jacksonville, Florida. That was issued earlier this evening. It was at 6:14 Eastern. Tornado warning for Hamilton and Suwannee counties. And that is a very effective site, and I've always liked that. So that's one way of doing it. Now, in the real world, let's, for my job, I'll show you how the sausage is made. Do we dare do this? Should we show the world how the sausage is made? Do they really want to know? Probably not.
No. I'm worried about this one.
All right. You are looking at the chat room, and that is how I get warnings on the air. In fact, what's up on the screen, that's the little, in fact, you can look at my tabs down there, and you see, well, there's one for LZK, that's the Weather Service in Little Rock. This is the Weather Service chat.
Yeah.
I've got Memphis. I've got Atlanta. I've got Huntsville. But notice that PNS in the Huntsville chat, you know, high wind event across the Tennessee Valley, the warnings post automatically to this chat. I mean, the second they are issued. That's Mobile. That's Jackson. This is Birmingham. And also we have our own group of weather observers that have been trained by Brian called the Sky Watchers. Most TV stations have this, and we use the same platform. Daryl Hertzman, who is a legend. Daryl is the best. He has set all this up. He's the brains behind it. And, you know, the chat with the Weather Service was originated by Ron Murphy and Tom Bradshaw of the Weather Service back when they were here in this market years ago. And it has come a long way. We used to remember, Brian, we used to use Yahoo chat a long time ago. But the program I use to access the chat, it's called Adium. And again, we're Mac people. Most people on the PC side use, Pigeon.
Pigeon.
They used to call it Game, and I think AOL sued them or something. But anyway, that if you want to know how I get warnings, it's via that chat and the bot that puts the warnings out there. JP, how do you get warnings?
I use the College of DuPage as well. I always go there. I'm always constantly checking my smartphone apps. But if I want something that's easy and simple, I'm going to go to that link that you posted.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, it's good.
That's right. And like I say, if you'd have gone to me first, I'd have stole yours. But that was a great choice.
Okay, and let's skip over tropical. I mean, that's, you know, it's kind of hard to do tropical here in the dead of the winter solstice.
Well, I think you don't have to skip it because we'd all agree probably the National Hurricane Center is one of the best ones.
Yeah, I mean, if you want their products, you just go there. And again, a lot of people go to these third-party sites that rehash that stuff. Now, just go to the horse's mouth. I mean, get it from the horse's mouth, you know. All right, models. All right, Brian. What's your go-to model site for computer models? NWP, numerical weather prediction.
Well, and I'm a little irritated with them, but NCEP Central Operations. If I'm looking at the GFS, and most of the time I'm looking at the GFS because it goes out so far, and we usually talk about, you know, week two. We don't put a lot of faith in it, but we usually talk about it. So, but I've been a little disappointed when they went to this new setup. The problem is,
This is the one. This is NCEP Central Operations, right?
Yeah, right. And I actually go, I guess, one step further because, that's where I go right there. That's what I have bookmarked is the one you're showing. And I'm very disappointed recently because it has become very bogged down. It's very slow. And sometimes, you know, you wait many, many, many seconds before the images load. And so I don't know what they've done that's caused that or if they've, you know, had to cut back on servers or whatever. But if anybody from NCEP is listening, I hope they can do something to get that back to the speedy way it was. But that's my GFS. Now, of course, I can't really give you one for the European because the one that I use is a pay site.
That will be showing how the sausage is made once again, right? Well, we could do this. Hey.
And you know which one that is, right?
Yeah, well, we're looking at it, aren't we? It's password protected. You can't get in there unless you knew the magic numbers.
But I don't want to put a link to it on our show notes.
Well, it does. No, we won't do that. But there it is. And for those that are watching the feed, it's the WSI Vortex Model Lab. And this is for clients of WSI. Now, this is part of the Weather Channel and, you know, that whole enterprise, but it's pretty good. They've got the RPM, which is a mesoscale model that a lot of television stations use. We have access to that. We have access to the Canadian. We have access to the European. And you can get these operational precipitation maps, which are excellent. They're very good. But again, that is a paid site. And speaking of a paid site, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've really been happy with the WeatherBill model site.
I was going to say, I'm getting more comfortable with them, but they're also a paid site.
Right. And again, this is something that, you know, you have to pay for. It's weatherbill.com and click on models. And I want to say it's reasonable. I honestly don't remember what they're taking out of my pocket every month.
160. No, for you, they're taking 320 because you're paying for mine.
$320 a month?
No, a year.
Oh, okay. Wow. I'm about to say, I need to drop this.
Actually, no, James, I'm sorry. It's 160 a year. I was kidding you. I was saying you were paying for mine.
Oh, I got you.
You're not. I'm paying for my own.
But they've got the...
I forked out the money because I think I like theirs, but there's some things I'd like to see them do too.
Right. And this is in development stage. Ryan Maui is the guy that maintains this, and he's very good. But he's got the Canadian, he's got the European, he's got the good high resolution WRF, the 4 kilometer. He's got the rapid refresh model on here, and he's also got your teleconnections, the NAO and the PNA and things like that. And he's got this the CFS, which is interesting. I mean, you if you want to get downright funky and get into voodoo country here, you know, let's just say, let's look at a 2 meter temperature plot here, and you can go out 45 days. I mean,
whoa.
This is 45 days. There we go. This is out to the 3rd of February. All right. So, you know, I mean, I don't really use that. I just don't do that. I'm not that good at it. I don't have the skill set, but it's weatherbill.com. So, JP, if you want to look at computer models, you like Brian, you go to the INSEP side, or what do you use?
Well, I was going to say that, but you know, I pop over to the chat room, and they have a pretty good link. It's weatheronline.co.uk, and it appears to not be a pay site. Let me stick that on the screen share. See if you guys have looked at that.
Is this for the European? UK is the United Kingdom.
Right, it is. Yeah. But it looks to me like it's. Hang on, I just clicked. Like I say, I just clicked on it a second ago. Let me go back to the link there. Y'all can stick it in your browser. Let's see. Like I say, one of the guys in the chat room linked this one. I don't see you have to pay for it, but oh, here it is. I see GFS, the NAM. I see a bunch of models up there.
The chat room guys, what we ought to do is just have those guys do the show 1 week because they're a lot smarter than we are. I mean, they really are. They're good.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this.
You're right.
So now we've all learned something new.
There you go.
Wow. That's good stuff.
That's really cool. I've never been there before, but I definitely will be bookmarking it. So chat room, good job there. I appreciate that.
Okay, well, awesome.
Where did you see the GFS? Because I didn't see it in there. But
very top left, Brian and models.
See it up there?
Right there.
Oops. Yeah, there it is. GFS.
I missed it. Still, I guess you're talking about weatheronline.co.uk.
Yep. Yes.
All right. While you guys are playing with this, let's go down. We got to hurry because I knew it. We were going to do a short show and see, we have no pressure. We got all the time. And before you know it, it's going to be time to do the 10 o'clock news over here. Let's go to blogs. I found that to be blogs. That's it's kind of regional. But and we can't, you know, we all have interest in blogs. We have one here, but we can't pick that. So if you...
We can't.
No.
Why not?
No, because that's just not right. Our blog's alabamawx.com. And if you want to see what we do, you can go. We had an active weather day today, but just go in there and see what we do. It's very active. It's very, very high traffic. But there are other blogs out there. And I'll tell you, you know...
There are.
yes.
Okay.
This one, you know, these guys are really good. It's really not technically a blog, but it is. It's part of the WashingtonPost.com. In fact, let me put this up on the screen here. I'm trying to do my best to be very descriptive because most people are listening to this. You know, we've had these guys on the show before. Jason Samenow.
Their blog is good, yeah.
And you know, and they do local weather for Washington, which is what we all do. Now, the one bad thing about it, when you're involved with a newspaper, you get so much junk. It make you want to barf all around. I mean, you know, our blog is pretty simple. And yeah, we've got ad messages. You got to pay the bills. But you look at this thing and it's got, you know, a Fresh Books ad. And then it's got a Bank of America ad. And it's got a Dick's Hamburger. What is it? Dick's Hamburgers? Did Brian, you ever eat a Dick's Hamburgers?
No, can't say I have. Sorry.
Well, there you go.
If I ever get to Washington, I guess I'll have to.
But I mean,
as we give them even more free advertising,
right,
by mentioning it on WeatherBrains.
You know, buy stocks for $4, save hundreds in Hartsel. I mean, you know, I'm not in Hartsel. I mean, but anyway, if you get rid of all that junk, it is a very, very well done site. And not only do they do local weather for Washington and Baltimore, but they'll get into some pretty important, you know, weather topics. You know, that they were heavily involved in this, you know, assessment team on Sandy and things like that. But I would say that's a really good one. And the other one, our pal Cliff Mass has a really good blog, the Cliff Mass Weather Blog. In fact, if you search Google where we are for weather blog, it's always a battle between Cliff Mass and ours. And, you know, I will say this. You know, he dabbles in, you know, climate and this kind of stuff. But I honestly think he is very sincere. He's smart. He does. I don't think he has any financial interest in this. And if you want a really good point of view, if you're interested in climate, I read what he writes and I listen to it, like Stu Ostro of the Weather Channel. But I think that's a good blog. So those are two ideas for me. You guys got any blogs you want to mention?
Yeah, I was going to mention, of course, my daughter's in Chicago, but Tom Skilling's blog I like to go to from time to time.
Channel 9. Didn't he sign like some 10-year deal making $10 jillion a year?
Well, I don't know about the jillion, but he signed some sort of long-term contract, I heard, yes.
I need that.
But
get his agent's number for me, will you?
Do I?
Get his agent's number for me. I want to get $1 jillion a year. All right, JP, what you got there?
This one here is the Mike Smith Enterprises blog. Pulled this from the chat room. I've been to it before, but they posted a link there, and this is really well done. I like this one, too. It's meteorologicalmusings.blogspot.com, and very well done. It's got a lot of great information, and there's no clutter at all.
Yeah, that's clean. Mike has been on the show before, and he's a great guy. That blog is good, clean content, and he not only blogs about his local area, but some other issues as well. So that's a great site. All right, let's skip down because of the time here. Let's just go to electronics, gadgets, doodads, cool stuff. All right, like let's say you wanted to give a weather weenie a gift, maybe a nice gift. What kind of electronic doodad would you recommend for a weather weenie, Brian? What's your favorite electronic doodad? Don't tell me your new iMac, right?
No. That's not a doodad.
Well, it's an electronic gizmo thing.
Well, you said electronic and weather.
Yeah, but you know, the truth is, the truth is, we all have to use computers and stuff like that.
Well, if I want to find unusual electronic doodads for computers, I go to Cyber Guys.
Who are the Cyber Guys? Never heard of them.
Cyberguys.com. Well, it's a place that sells a lot of doodads. And they started out with a very small catalog, and now they have a very large multi page catalog, a big catalog, and they've got all they don't generally sell computers. They're selling all these additional things that go with computers.
I'm going to buy a hydrogen fuel cell charging system. That sounds cool. This is pretty cool. You got the wireless home automation. Did they sell weather equipment in there?
I don't think so.
This show is going to the dogs.
That's my dog. She gets all excited when I get excited about something.
Apparently, she likes cyberguys.com too.
Yes. And if I was doing weather, I would definitely promote Davis weather instruments.
Yeah.
They're more expensive. I admit they're more expensive, but it's kind of like I feel about Macs. When you take them out of the box, they just work.
Yeah. And I get that a lot. You know, I want to buy some weather equipment. And of course, people have different budgets. You know, for those people that are just, you know, they got kids and they want to give them a rain gauge or something, you go down to the Argonne Scientific stuff, and that's not bad. In fact, you can buy a lot of the Argonne Scientific stuff at you know, Target and places like that. But the Davis stuff is pretty heavy duty, and it's good, works a long time.
Yeah, and like I say, the thing is, you know, I have to admit that I had one Davis that I put on my house, and it lasted about 5 or 6 years. But they're out in the elements. I mean, so even good quality plastics and fiberglass and all that sort of stuff. But you know, one of the things about the Davis, especially the wireless, is that they have their own little solar cell on there, so it helps to keep your battery running a whole lot longer. So, like I say, if you really want to promote keeping up with the weather and you want a good weather station, I really think theirs are some of the best that you can get.
All right, JP, doodads, electronics, got any ideas?
Going through the chat, because I want to make sure that these guys, their picks get on the show. They mentioned, let me scroll up through here. Not really much in there.
Well, see, the problem is this stuff's expensive. I mean, you know, this is kind of, when you get into buying computers and weather stations, this is something that you just don't do every day. One of the things I have over here, Brian, what do you call these? Hang on. Well, I'm strapped in. The handheld thing, what is it, Kessler?
Kestrel.
Kestrel.
Kestrel. That's what I was going to say. But once again, you're not talking cheap.
Yeah.
Especially if you want like a full component. But if you want something in the way of portable, Kestrel makes the best. They really do.
Because I have a handheld anemometer here in the office. And when we go out, you know, we can use that. And again, that's pretty good stuff. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we have spent way too much time doing this. We're going to take a break for Professor Peters. Will come back with a weather roundup. We'll do a very quick email segment. And I tell you what, the picks of the week is what we've just been doing. All right. We're not going to make Brian do any more links, but we're going to come back with some emails, weather roundup. Well, maybe we'll get cranky before we go and all that kind of good stuff. But hang on here. Let's check out Professor Peters as Weather Brains rolls along.
Weather Brains 101 with Professor Peters.
As we near the end of 2012, meteorologists are dealing with some rather strong troughs bringing significant weather systems to the U.S. In forecast discussions, you will occasionally come across the terms positive, neutrally, and negatively tilted troughs. So just what does this mean? First off, when a trough is positive or neutrally tilted, it is usually not referenced as such. So instead, you just see it referenced as a trough. But when it goes negatively tilted, you usually see it referenced as such. The tilt of a trough is the angle the trough axis makes with lines of longitude. A negatively tilted trough tilts horizontally, parallel to the surface, from the northwest to the southeast. So what is the big deal about having a negative tilt to a trough and pointing it out in a forecast discussion? A negatively tilted trough usually points to several important characteristics about what is happening in the weather. A negatively tilted trough generally indicates a low-pressure system that has reached maturity. It also indicates strong differential advection, or middle and upper-level cool air advecting over low-level warm advection. This characteristic amplifies thermodynamic instability, and a negative tilt to the trough also means good vertical wind shear. The combination of a deep low-pressure system at the surface, a negatively tilted trough aloft, and a warm, moist, warm sector east of the Rockies often produces a severe weather outbreak. So what leads to the negative tilt of the trough? Well, there are a number of factors, but perhaps the leading elements are strong middle and upper level winds wrapping around the base of the trough, a strong jet near the base of the trough, a ridge to the east of the trough, and the occlusion of the low pressure system. So the next time you see the model projections showing a negatively tilted trough, or note the term in a forecast discussion, you can be fairly certain that a strong to intense storm system will be the result.
By the way, all these things are going to come to mind while we kind of wrap up the show here in just a little bit. I had to mention the AWIPS website. Have we mentioned that lately?
No, we haven't. But that's been a pick a number of times, and that's a good one, too.
In fact, we have...
There's so many good ones.
I know. It is a plethora. But we had the developer on the show. He's been on with us. If you go back and search through the Weather Brains archives, you'll hear that episode. But he keeps updating the AWIPS program. And it's it's like getting AWIPS in a web browser. And it is a very, very powerful tool. And I just think that is a wonderful deal. And that's something you ought to bookmark. So, again, it is SIMUAWIPS.com. And we'll put that up on the show notes. All right. Weather Roundup. Now, the problem is this show is being released into the wild Christmas week. And the storm we have now will be long gone by then. But at the time we're doing this show, December 20th, we're just coming off a blizzard. We had convective snow in parts of Nebraska, Iowa. We had over a foot of snow, winds to over 55 miles per hour, total whiteout blizzard conditions. First, really whopper storm. What are they? You know, what's the Weather Channel calling this one? I honestly don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know. I hardly ever watch the Weather Channel. I'm sorry.
It's supposed to be the D storm, I think. A couple people were using that handle on my news feed. Let me look that up and see what the
we'll put JP on that. Named. But another one, okay, is going to be impacting the United States Christmas week when you're listening to this show. And you know, that's a really interesting storm to forecast. You know, we're about, 5 days out as we do this show. And we've seen looks to where it brings snow down into Arkansas and Tennessee. In fact, the last couple of GFS runs really brought a nice little 1-2-3-inch snow down through the Interstate 40 corridor with the more southern track.
I keep getting worried about how the models keep bringing that low further and further and further south.
Yeah, I know, man. If it keeps doing that, we're going to be buried down here with this thing. And it would be like it might be a Christmas Day snow for Arkansas, then the following day maybe for Tennessee and Kentucky and places like that. So that's the deal. And the pattern just looks cold and unsettled for a while.
And James, haven't you been amazed at the relative model consistency between the GFS and the European for a storm that far out?
Yeah, today. I mean, today was very good.
Well, no, I'm talking about this next one.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's what I mean.
Several days ago, Sunday or Monday, I started noticing that the GFS and the European, they weren't identical, but I mean, you know, one says it's going to be over Memphis and one says it's going to be over Little Rock. I mean, that's pretty close.
Yeah, of course, I like to use, I use the JMA, the Japan model. Just kidding.
Oh, you do.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
That will be the story Christmas week. But again, I don't want to get into that because this is a deal. We're just recording the show pretty far in advance. So let's and I don't have a fog bank. Skydiver is out. And so I guess we'll just maybe pick out one or two of these. We have no email officer on staff tonight. We'll just do it ourselves.
Letters. We get letters. We get stacks and stacks.
All right. Let's see here. Let me dive over into the old email inbox. I try to be organized. Everybody does email differently. And I still use folders. Some people use the Gmail tags. I still use the old-fashioned folders.
I use smart folders.
There you go. And these come in a lot. I'll just pick a few here. First off, this is from... Alan Nash, okay, is a self-professed weather geek.
He's written before.
Okay, I truly love the show, and I typically save up 2 or 3 podcasts at a time and then listen to them while driving long distances or taking a plane somewhere. And this is one way to ruin a plane flight is when you listen to this show. Earlier this year, you had a program with a local television meteorologist regarding the aftermath of the fire at Colorado Springs. But there's another interesting angle to this kind of weather story. The Weather Service IMETs, who get out on the front lines to gather and interpret data for incident commanders and staff responding to emergencies like wildfires. And he recommends Dan Borsum, who was with the National Weather Service in Billings, Montana. He says Dan does an outstanding job. He also recommends Jim Woodmansey as a guest. He is with in Jackson, Wyoming. He runs a weather website, does weather for some media outlets, does some consulting, and teaches courses. And we will give these names to our official guest booking officer. Have a note here from a noob. Mary Harpster. And since I first discovered you chuckleheads just this last February, I've been wading through the archives in addition to being a regular listener. And today I reviewed your Christmas episode from last year, Lost in the Yucatan. Remember that show, Brian? When you were lost in the Yucatan? And you know what? I'm sitting here talking to myself. It just dawned on me that the other guys have went away, so I've got to rejoin them. So stand by.
Now, obviously, you guys don't use it.
He's back.
He's back.
Yeah, I'm back. Now, well, you know what's bad? I was sitting here just talking away, and it didn't dawn on me that you guys had went away. So, JP, when you edit this, you can just keep me going because I'm over here talking about some email. And I was reading an email for, let me just kind of pick up where I was here, and we'll get to where you guys were, from Mary Harpster.
I was going to do that one.
Okay, well, you do that one. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, because I just love that she called us chuckleheads. I love it.
Well,
I like being called a chucklehead.
Mary, we are chuckleheads, boneheads, knuckleheads. We respond to all of that. But she was listening to the Christmas episode from last year, Lost in the Yucatan. Remember that one, Brian?
Yes, I do.
And she was intrigued by today's parallels. The only thing amazing missing were the wave clouds.
That's right. We had those Kelvin Helmholtz
wave clouds,
in December. In Birmingham. Yeah, in central Alabama. Wow.
But, you know, we had blizzard conditions in the middle of the nation.
Yeah.
Severe weather in the southeast. Major winter storm, nation's midsection. The extremes match the extremes we have today, and these billion-dollar disasters in the United States. So it's very interesting that she kind of noticed that, it was a very similar type show from a year ago.
And she's from South Central Kansas.
Yes, where she was buried by this latest storm. But anyway, wow. We're going to get Nate to go through and do all of the emails next week. So what were you on Knuckleheads talking about, or Chuckleheads?
We were talking about all the wrecks, and JP was showing some of the wrecks that Weather Channel, I think, has been posting about, with the winter storm.
And I stand corrected. It's not Draco. It's how do you pronounce it?
I'd call it Draco.
Draco. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I was showing Brian some pretty nasty accidents. Of course, obviously you're gonna see that in a winter weather type situation, but I was going to show this so you can take a look at that. Pretty nasty accidents there. Hang on one second, let me hit a button here. There we go. I don't know if they survived that one, but that looks pretty rough.
It does.
Oh man. That's bad. What state was this in?
That was in Iowa. It doesn't I see. Apparently, there was a multiple car pileup. Obviously, in those situations, it'll cause a chain reaction. But look at that one. That the car there looks to be totally smashed in from all angles. I highly doubt that individual survived that.
That looks bad. It really
does. Certainly unfortunate.
Hmm. Yes.
Okay. Well, fellas, we're gonna go ahead, Brian.
Well, I was going to say, so Draco is the storm that's going on now. What's the one that's going to be Christmas? I mean, is there an E storm or I don't know?
Yes. Let me look
Ethel.
That up.
Hey, I got it. Winter storm names for 2012. Let me get it up on the screen here. All right. Can you guys see that?
I'm bracing you to it. Oh, here it is. It's Euclid.
Oh, geez.
Euclid. And I'll stick this on the screen for you guys. And apparently there isn't there. Okay. There's not a Q name. It's just Q. Whatever that means.
Somebody explain. There's a reason for all of this.
We had a guy on.
Brian Norcross came on from the Weather Channel and explained all this.
He explained all that, but.
So what was Caesar? See, then here's the problem. I don't want to get this about naming winter storms, but which ones do you name and which ones do you don't name? Does it involve population centers? And what if you get a 2-foot snow, but it's over open prairie in Kansas or somewhere? I don't know.
Only the Weather Channel knows for sure.
Yeah, well, we're going to wrap this up here. I promised a short show, and we've already gone 50 minutes longer than I thought here. But if you want to get in touch with us, the email address, it is email@weatherbrains.com. Our Facebook accounts and Twitter accounts are up on the website, weatherbrains.com. And we will, I'm trying to think of the production schedule because, see, we got all these holidays, or, you know, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve are on Monday nights this year. So I want to say we're going to do the show that we would normally do on Monday, December 31st, on Sunday, December 30th. I'm pretty sure that's right. And Greg Carbon of SP, this is a show you don't want to miss. Now, tonight you had three stooges on here, you know, fooling around. Greg is going to come in and do the top events of 2012. And he does a great job. I saw Greg's presentation at the NWA meeting in Madison, Wisconsin. But, you know, that was back in October. And now the year is ended and we'll see what his big events are. But Greg will be with us on that show. So it will be Sunday night, December 30th, and we'll put out little notes on Twitter and everything else like that. But anything else, guys, before we go? Because you know what I do every year? I roll out on a Christmas song just because I like to do that.
And take my screen.
All right. Well, I'm going to take Mr. Brian Peters' nice shot of downtown Fort Worth that was taken by Kevin Selly. But again, I sincerely do want to thank everybody for listening. You know, we are like a family. We have been doing the show for almost 8 years, and a lot of you have been with us since show number one. And, you know, you've been with us through the good, through the bad, through the ugly. We've had a lot of laughs, had a lot of tears on this show. We have come through some very serious tragedies with loss of life. And we're just all like family. So I do want to hope that you and your family have a very blessed Christmas. Hope that you enjoy God's blessings this holiday season. And as I typically do most every year, I'm going to play a song by Mark Phillips. Mark is a friend of mine. Mark works with me in children's worship. I minister to younger kids. And after what happened in Connecticut, that job is even more important. But we're going to roll out with Mark Phillips. So to all of you, we wish you a very, very Merry Christmas.
Have yourself
Merry Christmas.
A merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, down.